grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter?
What kind of show is this? And why do I hear echo on my voice again? That is unacceptable.
Again?
It happened yesterday, because I was listening. I was listening to Frank, and he had an echo sound, and it turned out Peon forgot to push a button or something.
Who is this?
What?
Who is this?
What?
Who is this?
Once a year, the eyes of the nation turn to this tiny hamlet in western Pennsylvania to watch a master at work. The master? Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most famous weatherman, the groundhog, who, as legend has it, can predict the coming of an early spring. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves today is, does Phil feel lucky?
I can't believe they still do that. They're so stupid.
Gold at my feet.
What? Who are you?
What? Just call me. You can just call me Ho Hog. That's what everyone calls me. Ho Hog.
Ho Hog?
Yeah. That stands for hard of hearing old guy.
Ho Hog.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did you?
What?
Sounds very much like
what?
Abe Simpson.
What?
Abe Simpson. Oh, Homer's dad.
Oh. Yeah. So yeah. Somebody
I'm
already,
not familiar with him.
Somebody already has this voice.
Yeah.
Ho Hog.
I'm not familiar with him.
Ho Hog.
Maybe I could have had that part if it sounds that much like him.
Mm.
What are your names?
My name is Dan.
What?
My name is Dan.
What's the other guy?
Ian.
What?
I'm an old man.
Ian.
I hate everything but Matlock.
Who's that? Who's that guy? Who was it?
That was our general manager, Mike Dorsey.
Oh.
Did you just poop in your pants?
No. I know. No, I didn't. That's a misconception, and people think that all old guys are always passing gas and wearing. I don't even wear Depends, and I'm 93.
Oh.
In fact, I'm the same age as, I believe.
Red Shandy's?
Yes, it's his birthday today.
It is.
Yeah, we have the same birthday date, and.
Today's your birthday, too?
It is.
Huh.
I mean, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. 93.
But I can still eat corn on the cob if someone cuts it off and smushes it into a fine paste. Now that's good eating.
Now who was that?
That was Mike Dorsey again.
He's an older gentleman, I guess.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I'm pretty healthy, though, you know, for 93. I don't use a cane or what was I saying?
I don't know.
What?
You don't use a cane?
What?
You don't use a cane?
No, I don't. Or a walker, and I don't, what are these things called, these pep smear devices you wear to if you can't sleep or something? I don't use that. And hang on a minute. What?
Get up. I think it's time for you to go ho ho hog. No, I told
time
you.
Time for you to go ho hog, is that what I
heard? Ho 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 hog.
I think you said time for you to go ho hog. I think the caucuses are in on Ho Hog.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
All right.
No.
I don't know anything about politics.
No, I know what it means.
What?
It's your way of saying that, the people have spoken and they don't want me on here. I get it. I guess I'll just go the way of Funny Talking Man.
Go the way of Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
Suspend your campaign.
You know what? You youngsters, you think that's funny, I know, but...
No, not at all. We don't
know. We still have feelings. I'm out. I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay. All right,
thanks, Ho Hog. That was my buddy, Ho Hog.
Your buddy?
Well, he's not really my... I just met him.
You've never...
I just met him.
Oh, okay.
But I liked him.
Where did you meet him?
Actually, I met him at a Meanies.
Oh.
Yeah. He was shopping in there, and he spent $32,000.
Wow.
He's got money. Yeah, he's got money.
I'm not ever going to do any business with your advertisers again because of those two youngsters.
No, he just said he'll never do business with them again because of you two. But you know what? Let's move on. You've hurt somebody else's feelings.
I don't know what we've done. All we do is ask questions and just talk to people.
No, you have a way of putting them down. And
he probably would have died before he went back to buy anything else anyway. So we got his one sale.
Yeah, let's hope he didn't charge it. You know? Good afternoon and welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. My goodness, here we are, the second day of February, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. Another sleepy, dusty Delta day. Here we are.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
That was horrible. So sloppy. Edit that out,
okay,
and we'll pick it up here.
All right.
Well, here we are, Groundhog Day, second day of February, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Well, that's right, it's not the 2nd, it's the 3rd.
3rd of June. June.
Okay.
Yeah, June.
I think I got it now.
Yeah.
Now, see, the reason for these voices is I watched that documentary.
What voices? I thought those were real people.
See, that's how good they were.
Wow.
See, that's how good the voices were.
Hohog wasn't really a guy you met at Armini's?
No, that was me in another room. I was down the hall. That was me.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
And that was kind of a test, and apparently I passed it because I watched this documentary, I Know That Voice, on Netflix. A great documentary. And it's all these people who do cartoon voices and voices for video games. You see, it's a huge industry, the voice industry. Not anymore for radio. You people think you're going to, I'm going to get on the radio and I'm going to be on a talk radio. Good luck. Or disc jockey. Good luck. That's dead for the most part. But there are hundreds of people making, I would assume, a decent living doing voices for cartoons, animated things, and video games. Think about it. There are thousands of video games, and those video games have characters and voices. A lot of the army ones, you know, the warfare. Jim, bring me that 50 caliber. We're going to blow these bastards up. See, those are voices of soldiers. Somebody has to do that. I'm thinking I have another career.
You could do that.
This is my next. This could be my next career. I just have to find somebody who hires those people, and that's the problem. I don't know how much, video game voices or animation voices are done in St. Louis, but if I can find the right person, I'd like to audition. I would. What do you want, like a little squeaky character? Why don't you pass me that butter? You know, or you want an old man? I can't believe I'm this old, 93. Or do you want a gay guy? That looks good to me. Or, you know, I think I have a kind of... Dan, you can do it.
Hell yeah.
Give me a voice, not an impression. Just right now, you're called into audition for a cartoon character, and the cartoon character is an alien, but he doesn't sound like that. I am an alien.
Yeah.
And he has 5 heads.
Oh.
And he's 9 feet tall. Give me his voice. Give me his voice.
Hey, I'm an alien.
See, you could do it. You could peon. Give me
a
voice.
No, you're not.
That's one of the hits. Because to not do a, you know, to try to not do a voice that's already out there, you know.
No, I know what you're
that's
saying.
The hard part is.
I know we got a lot of those in a world of, you know, that guy, that movie trailer guy. There are a dozen of those guys. So forget that. You got a lot of the. Those kind of voices.
You're right. Yeah.
But you're right. The hard thing is find a voice.
A distinct one that has...
Just give Peon, just give me any voice. Just give me right now any cartoon voice. Give me a voice.
Who's my character again? I got to get into a...
Okay, your character is a... It's like a Hank Hill type guy, but he is a loser. He says stupid things, and his grammar is horrible. Give me that guy.
Let me take this one.
Oh. Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dan.
That's it. That's it. That's the character.
kind of a loser. Peon, okay. Give me an
no
any
butt
voice.
Chance or ifs, dude.
What?
That's John Hadley.
No, I was still doing the last one. Am I doing a different one?
Yeah, we're not looking for impressions. That's John Hadley.
John Hadley could be that.
He could
character.
Be a cartoon
yeah.
character.
Yeah.
Sure, dude.
He could be called Dude. And mm-hmm. he'd be that neighbor who always comes and goes, yeah. Say, dude, can I borrow your lawnmower? Yeah. Give me a voice.
Let's see here. That last the loser guy or just anything?
Yeah, the loser.
Oh, man, why can't I ever get anybody to take me out on a date?
Yeah.
That's kind of like...
I think we have something here.
It was almost a Louis...
It was. It was a combination yeah. of Louis Armstrong and who was the black guy? Was it The Simpsons? What am I thinking of? I can almost see.
Cleveland from Family Guy.
Yeah,
who had his own show, The Cleveland Show.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of that guy.
Yeah, you and can all combine voices.
All these cartoon voices, video game. They're sort of a combination of other voices people have heard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy on this documentary. He makes his living doing babies crying, and when he does it, it sounds more like a baby crying than a baby. I mean, it's unbelievable. You close your eyes, you go, well, that's a baby crying, needs to be changed. No, it's this guy, like 60. And then there are women who do children's voices.
Yeah.
And you know, when you watch commercials or you hear commercials, and you can, I can't even do it, but they have the tonality and the speech pattern perfectly of like a four-year-old.
But who does Bart's voice? It's a woman, right?
Nancy Cartwright.
Yeah.
She's in the documentary. And she says she'll go up to kids, and somebody like the mom or somebody go, you know, that lady is the voice of Bart Simpson. Maybe they know Nancy. And the kid goes, no way. And they go, yeah, go ask her. And she goes, the kid will say, and she says this happens all the time. So you're Bart Simpson, you're a woman. She goes, that's right, I'm Bart Simpson. He goes, no, you're not. And then she'll go, don't have a cow, dude. Or something like that. The kids are blown away. They can't believe it's coming out of her body. So this is, I've been looking for direction mm-hmm. because our days are numbered here, let's face it. And, we're going to go eventually the way of Scott Sherman. And I just think we need to find that other thing, and this could be it.
What do you mean? He's on every week with us with the
Oh, that's
Thursday.
Right. Yeah. That's right, he is. I thought he was fired. But, yeah, he's on with us. So does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. Man of many voices, Dan Strauss.
Thank you so much.
Oh, see, that was pretty good.
We've been talking about the groundhog and how stupid this day is.
It is stupid.
And they say if he sees his shadow, is it six more weeks of winter? Is that what it is?
Correct.
But he didn't today, so it's supposed to be an early spring.
But if there is six more weeks of winter, that's actually butts up to right around spring. Isn't spring
Here's
like
the deal.
March 21st?
It's going to be winter anyway.
I know.
There's six more weeks of winter no matter what. That's why it's stupid.
Yeah.
And weather-wise, they mean it'll be early.
But it makes sense. If he sees his shadow, that means the sun's out. That would tell me
yeah.
winter's going to be shorter because the sun's out. It makes sense.
I never understood
none of it.
Any
yeah, exactly.
of that.
That's stupid.
You're right. Yes,
and I can't even believe it's an actual news story when you watch
it. Oh,
news.
My goodness.
That's
I
not
love
news.
It. Every day. Every year. It's the same thing. It's.
I'll never understand it.
Yeah.
And who do we have here? We have some groundhog. And some...
We do?
Yeah, there's some groundhog name at the zoo. I can't remember what his
name
is.
Yeah, but we don't hold a ceremony here where somebody gets up down in the Forest Park or somewhere and goes, okay, everybody.
I don't know. I think they probably do.
Yeah, I think they
Maybe
do.
Maybe a zookeeper or something. Just
I think they do. They come out and they say
that
Charlie saw his shadow or whatever the heck his name is, not Phil or something like that. But, yeah.
You see that video, that groundhog that bit that guy's ear?
No.
I saw it yesterday. It was one of the, it wasn't, where's Punxsutawney Phil? Where is that? That's,
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
This was another town that every year tries to duplicate that. They got a guy in a top hat, and they showed the video last year. He's holding the groundhog. That groundhog takes a bite out of his ear, and those groundhogs have bad teeth, man. They got some bad news teeth, and I bet you he won't be doing that again. He held
well,
it
think,
right up next to him.
Bill Murray got bit, twice during the movie, he had to get
got bit
rabies shots.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Dan, you have anything?
And that's on that. No, and that's on again tonight on Comedy Central. I think.
If I don't watch it, I'll record it. I can't watch Groundhog Day too many times. There's no such thing. I could watch it 100 times.
Isn't that OJ thing? Does that start tonight?
Yes.
What channel is that on?
FX.
I was looking all over for it to start recording it.
You must not listen to the show because we said yesterday it's FX.
Yeah, and I couldn't remember if it was FX, so I wanted to record it. But
it's 10 parts.
What time does it start?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You could be able to find that out.
But last night I was watching this, it says OJ the Truth, and it was like a documentary on the trial, the actual trial, and all of the evidence they had. And then the second part of it was the civil lawsuit and all of that stuff and how the attorney got involved in the civil lawsuit. But everything, oh my, I watched it all last night, and I'm like,
you can't not watch it.
And it's like, how could the jury come away with a not guilty?
No sane person will ever understand how he was found not guilty. This thing tonight is based on a book by a guy named Jeffrey Toobin, and the book was called The Run of His Life, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And in the book, at the end, he concludes, he is based, and he did lots of research, he said, I am 100% positive he killed them. In the series, apparently, they never say that. But I think once you've watched it, you'll, just as we did in real time over 20 years ago, you just go, wow, this is a slam dunk. This guy's guilty. And I think that's what will happen after you watch the 10-part series.
And they had it last night. And they had Kardashian was sitting there, or standing there with O.J.
When they announced the verdict.
When they announced the verdict. And he had this shocked look on his face.
Never seen a guy look more surprised than Robert Kardashian.
And he said that he wanted to leave and get away from the case, but he thought that it would really look bad and make OJ look guilty. But then after all of that, he didn't talk to OJ for years and years, and he was on his deathbed, and OJ tried to contact him, and he refused to talk to OJ.
What does that tell you? They were best friends at one time before this all happened.
I know.
Robert Kardashian, the whole Kardashian family, Kim was a young girl, and then they were all close. That Jenner, Kris Jenner, she and OJ and all of OJ's girl, they were all tight. And what does that tell you? And again, we forget another thing. A guy named Howard Weitzman. Howard Weitzman was the attorney that came in for O.J. in the very beginning. When they arrested O.J., O.J. said, get Howard Weitzman. Howard Weitzman had represented Michael Jackson. He'd represented a lot of famous people. He loved publicity. He was one of those like Gloria Allred. So people forget that Weitzman goes to the police station and has a talk with O.J. and walks out and announces he's off the case.
Yeah.
I am not. And I'll tell you exactly why. And I can't prove this. O.J. spilled his guts. He goes, Howard, you got to get me out of this. I didn't mean to do it. Also, if you remember, Rosie Greer, former football player who turned minister, went in to the when they were holding O.J. in jail, and met with O.J. And more than one of the people in the jail, the prisoners, a couple other people, said they absolutely heard O.J. almost yelling, I didn't mean to do it to Rosie Greer. Now, I don't remember if Rosie Greer was ever called to testify. I can't imagine why he wasn't. But I don't think in some cases you have to testify.
No, if he's a minister, then that's
confidential.
Confidential thing.
And then they're going to say, well, we're not going to take the word of some prisoner who's in there and heard it. That's not credible. But Weitzman's, the fact that he withdrew himself, boom.
Yeah.
I mean, why? There's only one reason you'd do that. O.J. had told him he did it, and he goes, I can't do this now. I can't represent this guy. There's all kinds of stuff. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a great true story about Mike Evans, who we're going to have on later today. And most of what we're going to do is talk to Mike about the O.J. case. This is a little over 20 years ago. But I'm telling you, folks, I don't think anything had people glued to the TV for more hours than the O.J. Simpson thing. Not just the Bronco chase, but that trial went on for a little more than 8 months.
Yeah.
A long trial. And every day, most people were checking in. And remember, it was live. It was on TV.
Yes.
It was telecast. So, televised. So we come back after the break. I'm going to tell you the Mike Evans story. And this is how Mike Evans became part of this show over 20 years ago. and has been with us ever since. And it's all about O.J. And I remember Mike said to me, he said, I love O.J. Simpson. He kept me out of prison.
Yeah.
Mike Evans was about to go to prison. This is absolutely true. This is an unbelievable story. And O.J. Simpson murdering those two, and I'm just going to say murdered those two people, kept Mike Evans out of jail. And you say, how could that be? That's coming up. See what I did?
Ooh.
Teasing.
Yes. Teaser.
After this first break, I will tell you that story. And then Mike will come on later and tell you, he'll confirm what I'm about to tell you. And maybe he has a couple of things to add to it. But he was in the courtroom pretty much every day. And he was doing call-in reports for stations all over the country. And I'll tell you how that kept him out of jail. After these words from our sponsors. Now, see, that was my announcer, sort of mediocre announcer voice. That's what I call mediocre announcer. And I don't know that there's a place for him in video games or cartoons. But I'm not going to just let this go until I'm convinced there's nothing for me out there. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet has been on with us for, we decided this is the 13th year, I believe.
I think so.
12 years now into 13th, and I can hardly believe that. But I'm glad for it. And we appreciate the fact that he has not only been a great supporter of the show and an entertaining guy, we also appreciate the hundreds of you, hundreds, who have bought cars from Johnny Londoff because of this show. He sent me a text Saturday, and with it was a picture of him with a customer who was holding up an AM and the PM bumper sticker. And his text was, wow. Already four buyers who are AM and the PM, and it wasn't even, I don't think, noon on Saturday. So that's the kind of thing we love to hear. What we want is for our advertisers to tell anybody else who's thinking about advertising, this is the best money I've ever spent. And if any advertiser out there listening who's tired of wasting money, if you want an endorsement for this show and what it does for advertising, call John Londoff, call Tom Price, call the Matheny, Tom, or call, you know, his brother, Rob. Or I can give you a list if you want it. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, and if you want to find out why the people who went because of the show end up thanking us for a great experience, you're just going to have to see what that experience is. And the only way you're going to do that is to shop there. I didn't say buy there. We don't tell people how to spend their money. We just ask you to give our sponsors a chance. And more often than not, the people who give Londoff a shot at their business end up giving Londoff their business. And you'll see why when you go experience the Londoff love, he likes to call it. And it really is everything he says, he backs up. He loves meeting customers, and he insists on his people treating people with respect. Because next to a house, for a lot of people, buying a car is a huge, maybe the second biggest expense they have. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, I don't think there's another dealership that can match him. In price, okay. I would never say they couldn't match them. So let's say you have two Chevys, the same Chevy. It's an Impala. And at another dealer, it's this price. And at Londoff, it's the same price. Let's say they're even the same price. Now, how are you going to decide where you're going to go? Don't make it about which one's closer to you. Who cares? Who cares? It's about how they treat you. And would you go back again and again? And would you send the rest of your family there and your friends there? And the answer is yes. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. The Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 or 24/7 at Londoff.com. I don't like the term. Shout out when people say, I want to send a shout out. I don't like that. But I do want to say hello to somebody. I just got a text from Rob Moore. And he said he's sitting in the car with his girlfriend, Jessica. And he's apparently telling her, hey, I know that guy. you know, impressing her.
He knows.
And that's pretty impressive. Knowing me. He knows me.
You? Yeah. Who, he knows Ho Hog?
No, he knows me. Oh. He's saying, I know that guy.
Oh.
Frank Opinion. And
he does.
Jessica, if you're listening, I never heard of Rob Moore. I have no idea who this guy is. I don't even know.
But he sent you a text, right?
Yeah, and he says, hey, I know him. My girlfriend doesn't believe it. She's never known anybody that knows anybody on the radio. Jessica, this guy's, I have never heard of him in my life. Get out of the car and run for your life.
But I know him.
Yeah, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, you don't.
No, I don't.
Truth is, I do know Rob Moore, and he's one of those guys. He lives outside Lake of the Ozarks, and he's a good family friend, and one of those guys that if, you know, there aren't many people in your life that if you said, I really need something, or I'm in trouble, that would just drop everything and go. This is him. This would be Rob. So, Jessica, welcome to the show if you've never heard it before. Also, before I talk about Mike and OJ, Dan, I watched Grease last night. My wife recorded it, and I'm going to tell you something. It was fantastic.
I know.
No, I couldn't believe how good this was. Now, I don't know if they're going to rerun it. What was it, NBC? Who did
that? Fox. Yeah.
I don't know if you didn't watch it, did you, Peon?
I watched bits and pieces of it.
I was blown away. I've never seen such a production. Dan, did you see how big the sets?
Yes.
I mean, this was a lot, I guess, in Hollywood that must have had 15 different sets, and they would shuttle on commercial breaks from set to set. This is one of the most incredible pieces of live TV I ever saw. And the performances, I read a couple of reviews. Like USA Today gave it 2.5 out of 4. They're out of their minds. Julianne Hough, they said, well, she's not really a good singer. I thought she was fantastic. And that girl that played Rizzo, whose dad had died the day before.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was awesome in that.
And the guy that played Danny Zuko, I don't know who that guy was, but he looked like Jim Carrey, and he was tremendous.
He looked like Jim Carrey, and there were times when they were together, she looked like Olivia Newton-John, and he looked a little like Travolta a little bit. But, yeah, you're right, Jim Carrey. I was trying to figure out who
he looked
like.
Now, folks, if they rerun Grease, I would Peter Pan to me, that other thing they did, Sound of Music, ho-hum. Mm-hmm. This thing... Look, I liked Grease with Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, and I never would have thought anything would have come close. They did a fantastic job of casting, the costuming, the sets are unbelievable, and it's live television.
Yeah.
So if they run it again, even though when you watch it, you'll be watching a rerun, just remember that what you're watching was broadcast live. And I thought it was terrific, and I'm not a musical person at all, but I like Grease. Do you know who wrote Grease is the word? Do you know who wrote that?
No, was it Frankie Valli?
Barry Gibb.
Barry Gibb did? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Frankie Valli recorded it.
Yeah.
It was a big hit. I thought the music, I thought everything about it. How about that drag race scene, how they were able to simulate a drag? Those cars were sitting still in a studio.
I was trying
all done with lights and wind machines and moisture.
I know. I was waiting to see how they were going to do that with that drag race thing.
Boy, they did a good job.
Yeah.
So, Grease, I highly recommend it. Now, in 1994, when this OJ thing went down, I was sitting and was miserable at KSDFM. The only 2 years of my radio life where I dreaded going to work every day. I didn't like it. I wasn't happy, and I was doing classic rock. I don't belong in classic rock. It doesn't belong with me. We don't fit. I'm not a Journey, Boston, a Police guy. To me, classic rock, I don't know what that is, but apparently the program directors say that Elvis is not classic rock and Beatles are not classic rock. Well, then what they consider classic rock, I didn't like. And because of a purchase of a set of radio stations that included KSD AM and FM, and KSD AM was where we are right now, became KTRS. But I'm stuck on the FM, and I'm miserable. And then this OJ thing comes along, and a guy named Mike Evans, and I don't remember if the first contact to the station, if he called them or if he stopped in. I'm assuming he called. But as is the case with most program directors, the numbskull, who was the program director, said, what Mike did is he said, look, I'm going to make myself available. I'm going to be in the courtroom every day, and I would be happy to call one of your shows and give you a report fresh from the courtroom. And in their wisdom, as they always do. They, program directors are people who fire good people who should still be on the air. They're people who decide they know what's funny and what's not funny, and they know what a station needs and what a station doesn't need. So he says, no, we're not interested. Now, somehow or other, I got wind of it, and I don't know if those program director had mentioned it or walked by, and I heard him go, nah, we don't need that. And I was on in the morning at the time, and our morning show doesn't need that. And I guess I said, doesn't need what? And he goes, some guy, this guy from California, he wants to, you know, call in and give reports from the court. And I said, well, I want it. So I guess I just worked out a deal with Mike, and I probably hired him myself or whatever. And I talked to him, and I thought, let's run with this. Let's just take a chance. And we had Mike on every day through that 8-month-plus trial. And then Mike told me later that O.J. Simpson kept him from going to prison. And I said, what? And he said, yeah. Mike Evans, you have to understand, is a guy who led a life that a book should be written about, a life of cocaine use as a rock jock, marijuana smoking, fraud, dating a playmate of the year. And when I say fraud, he masqueraded for a couple of years as somebody he wasn't and actually went and performed as somebody else.
Wasn't it he and another guy doing that?
Yeah, Johnny and
Johnny
Joe.
Johnny and Joe, yeah.
And it's an unbelievable story. Mike is a guy whose brother became his sister. Forget Caitlyn Jenner. Long before Caitlyn Jenner, there was Mike's brother, Jerry, who is now his sister, Sherry. And he used to babysit for Sonny and Sherry. This guy's got such an unbelievable life. And I said, how did O.J. keep you out of prison? Mike said, I decided for a few years that I just wasn't going to pay any income tax. And then this does not surprise me that Mike would just go, nah, I'm not filing. And then it caught up with him. And the IRS said, hey, you owe us whatever the amount was. I want to say 150 grand or something.
Yeah,
not insignificant.
Pretty chunk of money.
He didn't have it. He didn't have it. So along comes O.J., and Mike decides, I'm going to call every station I can. I'm going to get every station I can to hire me as a stringer, and maybe I can make enough. I think the IRS gave him a timeline. They said, if you don't pay this off in 6 months, you turn yourself in, you're going to federal prison. So O.J. comes along. Mike burns up the phone lines calling stations. And the end of this story is that he got enough radio stations that he paid off his IRS bill and didn't have to go to jail. So, yeah, he loves O.J.
Yeah.
He said he's always wanted to send O.J. a thank you card for what he did that kept him out of jail. So when Mike is on today, and I told you yesterday, he would give us things. It wasn't the usual report like, well, Christopher Darden mentioned in the trial, he brought up what was listed as evidence, what do they call it, Exhibit A. Or O.J. No, he didn't do that. He did offbeat stuff like getting on the elevator with Marcia Clark and ask her what kind of perfume she wore, and it was Obsession, and other things that you didn't get anywhere else.
Yeah, and he would find out what they were eating and what Judge Ito had brought in and stuff.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff, yeah. And how the whole thing operation worked and how many people were in the courtroom and where he sat exactly in the courtroom and what kind of view he had of O.J. And it was really interesting. And that was the beginning of the Mike Evans thing. So when it was over, he said, look, I'd still like to just come on and just bring you just whatever. And I said, sure. So again, it's a case of radio management not having any idea what they're doing and missing a great opportunity.
And he stayed on with a bunch of the stations, too, that
I think he did. I think he ended up getting a lot of regular stations that he still has today. Yeah. Because of the O.J. trial. You know, another good example is I had a website done before I came to the station. And my website's nothing to brag about. It's just essentially a sponsor list. I'm going to change that eventually. But in the beginning, it was a way for listeners to keep up with me because I was between stations. And the Reverend Mike Anderson was the guy who set up my initial website. And I remember the program director at KSD at the time, and I'm not going to mention any names, Smokey.
Just call him Fred.
I introduced him to Mike, And Mike said, hey, and Mike was in there early on the whole website thing. And he said, hey, I could do a website for the station. And this guy says, we're not interested. Look at some of his work because we're not interested. Now, here's the best part. I have a website done. This guy, this program director, comes to me, I don't know, 6 months later, and he goes, I saw your website, and it's pretty impressive. Could you put me in touch with whoever did it? I go, I've already done that. It's the guy that you said you had no interest in. He did my website. I've always gotten the biggest charge out of confronting radio management people with their stupidity. So that's the Mike Evans story. Yeah. And he'll be here today to tell you. I mean, the reason we go is this is how this guy talked.
He did. He'd go,
started everything with a grunt.
Yeah, he'd go, so listen, when you were on the air.
Just like that.
And he was also one of those guys that if somebody on there got sick, he'd fill in.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, he put all that rock to him. Oh, yeah. He had the greatest radio voice. And it was laughable. Everyone's laughing at this guy. So Mike's got 100 stories. We'll stick with OJ. And for those of you who, I guess, don't listen regularly, Mike's on at about 4. Try to get him early today.
5.
Maybe 4:40.
5:40.
5:40. Yeah. Maybe we'll get him on about 5:40 today. Tell the joke a little early. We'll get him in here to talk about the OJ trial. I got to do a little business, I think, don't I? Oh, yes. Happy Groundhog Day. I don't mean that. I'm not sincere when I say it. I think it's stupid. And congratulations, Ted Cruz. I think. I got to mention this. They were interviewing before the caucuses. They were interviewing people who you're going to vote for, and this is the problem this country has, and this is why everybody should take an IQ test before they're allowed to vote. They ask this lady who she's going to vote for, and she says Donald Trump all the way. And he said, why? And here's what she said. She said, because I love The Apprentice. Now that's her reason for wanting a guy to be president of the United States. Now, the other thing I noticed was did you see Trump's very short speech after Cruz was announced the winner?
No.
He's already dialed it back because he said, I want to congratulate Ted Cruz, and he said, we're going to go on to New Hampshire, and we're going to win, I hope. I hope.
He
never, ever before said, I hope. He said, I hope, or something to that effect. And it was just, you could just tell, maybe we need to just back this up a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something else. I said the day after the debate, when he bailed, I said, this is going to hurt Donald Trump. And I'm telling you something. I think that hurt him just enough that Cruz beat him. I don't think the people in Iowa appreciated that he didn't show up just because he's afraid of Megyn Kelly. Really? You're afraid of a moderator? Are you kidding me? And I think that hurt him, and I think it cost him that. And the last thing is, I don't think this caucus thing means anything.
I don't think it does either. I don't.
These people have 9 months to completely change their minds, and a lot can happen to cause them to change their minds. So for the life of me, I don't know why there's such a big deal.
I'm already tired of hearing all this political stuff.
I was tired of it 6 months ago.
I know.
All right, let me do a little business, and then we'll come back, and then we'll take some calls. We'll talk. You talk about OJ and the thing that starts tonight, or I don't care what you talk about. We'll do anything you want. First Community Credit Union. Oh, and then after that, Colin Jeffrey comes in to talk about entertainment. And I'm sure he'll mention the OJ 10-part, I guess it could be called a mini-series. I don't know what you call it. First Community Credit Union is where I bank. I think you know that. I do all my banking there and have for, this is a guess, 7-8 years, something like that, since they've been with us. They're also the exclusive sponsors of the yard sale. If you've never heard the yard sale, by the way, another management decision here years ago where the person at the time who was the manager said, we don't need that yard sale. It's now had a beyond successful run for about 11 years. They sponsor it exclusively. That's why you don't hear a lot of commercials. There are 4 breaks, which allows Paul Warner every Saturday to get about 95 calls in, give or take a call or two. It's always about 95. If you've never heard it, this Saturday, 7 o'clock, I think you'll really enjoy it. And there are a lot of hardcore regulars who have that radio on ready to go every Saturday morning to either sell something or find something to buy. It's called the yard sale, and the sponsor is First Community Credit Union. They have 42 locations. Each location has fresh popcorn that's as good or better than any of the best movie theater popcorn you've ever had, complimentary to its members. And even though you're not a member, walk into one of the 42 and go, could I have a bag of popcorn? Frank said it's okay. I'm AM and the PM. I think they won't have a problem with that. And then I'd like to invite you to consider changing where you do your banking. And I'm going to say you'll be very glad you did. The service is incredible. The rates are competitive. It's First Community Union. Again, 42 locations. You can find out more at firstcommunity.com. Don't go away. We come back. We're going to take some phone calls. It's 4 o'clock. Coldplay is the halftime entertainment. I will watch it because there'll be a little guest appearance in the middle of that performance by Bruno Mars. I love Bruno Mars. And then there's a rumor that, Beyonce, I couldn't care less about her.
That's what I heard.
Don't care about her, but I like Bruno Mars. Folks, let's talk. I want some phone calls. Dial us up. We have a good 15 minutes where we can talk about anything you want. You want to talk about what you remember from the O.J. thing? You want to talk about hopefully not politics? We don't care. You want to ask us a question? We don't care. Never called before, first time? Let's do it. 314-969-KTRS. 888-550-KTRS. Better yet, cell phones, *KTRS. Dan Strauss will put your name on the screen. And we'll call you in the order that you call in. Peon, I have an article, and they do this every year. It's the cost of raising children. I know you saw it, but I'm going to tell you why it's bunk and why you shouldn't get all freaked out over it, because I don't believe it for a minute. We'll get to that, but first we're going to take some calls. All right, one more time for the numbers. You know what? Let's just do the cell phone thing, *KTRS. I'm going to talk to Mary. Mary, how are you?
Fine. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great. What can we do for you?
AM into PM.
There you go. Hallelujah.
Well, listen, you're talking about O.J. When that trial was going on, we didn't do anything here at the house. They were on TV, everything stopped here at the house before and after.
You couldn't help it. You couldn't help it.
Oh, I know. But while this trial was going on, I went to California to visit our daughter and her family out there. So we went to O.J.'s home in Rockingham there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to park about 3 or 4 blocks away from there. And we went over there, and there was hundreds of people standing on people's lawns over there to watch the house. And all of a sudden, when the gates opened up, who came out but that boy of his riding in that Jeep? And I thought he was going to hit us people up there in the mother people's yards looking.
And you know what? I'm glad I mentioned that, because we never hear anything about his kids. What was it? The daughter's name was, started with an S. And was
Sydney,
that's it. And what was his son, Justin or something?
Justin, yeah. Well, those were the two little kids, but this was the big boy.
Yes. This there was an older son.
Jason.
Uh-huh. Jason. Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. Isn't that interesting? We never have, you know, they follow up on Paris, Jackson, but we don't ever hear mm-hmm. what's
hopefully
the
that's
deal.
Good news that they've been able to lead somewhat normal lives after all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, after this trial was over, there was a company put out DVD sets of this trial, you know?
Yeah.
So we bought the set of DVDs.
You got to be kidding me.
To rewatch it?
We watched it after we got them in the mail. We watched it, but we put them away and we've never watched it. But we do have that full set of DVDs.
Well, I can't imagine wanting to watch all that again, but it was, you're right. You could not, if it was on, stopped and you couldn't not watch it.
My aunt was obsessed, too, with it, and she ended up naming a parrot, which they still have. Its name is Cato.
Really? Still,
yes. And she tried to teach it when they first got Cato to say O.J. did it. But it never stuck.
No, that's hilarious.
Well, you know, he had a beautiful home there, and that was a beautiful property to do something like that and lose that property for. It was a gorgeous place he had there.
Well,
and the, place where Cato lived, we could see that from the street, and it was just gorgeous. And so it was a shame he did what he did and that he lost everything he had.
Who?
O.J.
Well, he didn't do anything.
He kind of brought it on
himself. What are you talking about? Well, hold on. He's not guilty.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
Must be talking about somebody else, huh?
I guess you must be. Mary, thank you for the call.
Love y'all.
We love you more. We love you more than you love us, and I'm not kidding. Let me talk to John. John, how are you?
Hi, guys. I am in the PM.
Thank you, John. Hallelujah. What's up?
You know what I remember about the O.J. trial? I'm living and working up in Central Illinois, and I remember being down in St. Louis, and everybody was looking at the TV, and everybody's expecting him if he was convicted of it turning into another Reginald Denny type thing where there was just going to be rioting in the streets. And I just remember how tense everybody was waiting for the verdict to come through.
Which is, by the way, why I'm convinced that has a lot to do with the verdict, is that those jury members didn't want the country burned down.
Right. And I kind of chuckle because we were watching Seinfeld last night, and they did a little spoof on it with I just caught it at the very end, but this lady had to try on a bra over her clothes, and she goes, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit.
Sue Ellen Mischke.
And I might add, look, the fact that the glove didn't fit, you go take any leather glove and you soak it, blood, water, whatever. I promise you it won't fit. It shrinks.
Exactly.
That proved nothing. Nothing.
Right.
John, thank you for the call.
Hey, one more thing.
Sure.
Did you know you were talking about Greece?
Yeah.
Did you know that McCartney is the one that owns the rights to the Grease? That's his production. He owns that now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See?
And I'm up here. One more thing.
You said one more thing a while ago. This makes it two more things.
Yeah, wait a minute.
But we don't care.
One more thing.
We don't care.
Up here
go
in Central Illinois, I didn't get a chance to hear everything. How's Carney doing? I heard something happened to him.
You know what? He's apparently sitting in a chair. He had a torn aorta, and he's now, the latest update was, he's out of bed and sitting in a chair. And I think this is probably going to be a few weeks off the air. I think once they learn what he does for a living, it's one thing to tell a construction worker, you can't go back to work for 6 weeks. We don't work that hard. We sit and we talk. And I think, hopefully, he'll be back in, I hope 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I didn't hear what happened, but I just wanted to...
He had an episode, I believe it was, Peon, help me out here, and Dan, Thursday night.
Yeah.
He had taken Thursday and Friday off, and he was going to go out of town to a concert, and then from what I understand, he had an incredible pain that shot up his leg or something, and it wouldn't go away, and he told his wife, Suzanne, to call 911. They took him to St. Charles, then they airlifted him to Barnes. And a torn aorta is not something to mess with, because that's the biggest, fattest artery you have. And if it starts leaking, it can be bad. That's what killed John Ritter.
Yeah.
So,
hope he's doing okay.
It looks like he's going to be fine. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love you guys.
All right. We love you, not in a sexual way.
Yeah, he's moving in the right direction. I think he's off the ventilator now.
There you go. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Doug is next. Hello, Doug.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. What can we do for you?
Well, you were talking about the DJs and stuff that you worked for, and or the guy that was running the show or whatever. You know, I'm going to say a name here, and I just was curious. It wasn't Bob Hamilton, was it?
No, Bob Hamilton was a very respectable newsman at KMOX.
Right. I always liked the way he would always, you know, the way he said his name and stuff, and it was just...
No.
He was always great to listen to,
no,
so I was hoping you weren't kind of dogging on him.
No. In the good old days when that station was really something, he was part of the reason it was really something. And he was never a program director. He was a solid newsman.
I can remember, wasn't it KMOX FM? Wasn't that 102.5?
103.
It was 103.3 and later became Clue, but when it was KMOX FM, they went quadraphonic. It was the station in town.
I remember all that, and they would play music, and sometimes he would DJ late at night.
I didn't know that.
On the FM station, and it was just always really cool to hear him, you know, talking, and I just always really liked his voice.
No, Bob Hamilton, just like, Bill Reeker, who just retired, solid news people.
Yeah, you kind of miss hearing those guys like that.
Well, those days are over for that station. A lot of things are over for a lot of stations. The heyday of radio, when everybody listened to the radio and everybody watched TV, and it's a struggle now to keep it going. But thank goodness, talk radio, including sports talk radio, is still alive and well and has a future. I don't know how the radio stations that play music even still exist, because my music's all on my phone, my iPod, part of my iPhone.
Yeah,
so
a lot of the guys, I work construction, a lot of the guys, they'll have their phone just on their belt, you know, playing low all day long, and they can listen to whatever they want. So it's kind of interesting. You don't even have to have radios on the job sites anymore.
Not anymore. Doug, thank you.
Well, I hope your guy's future stays nice and bright and don't go anywhere.
Well, I'd love to say that we're never going anywhere, but I can't say that for certain. But we'll be here as long as we can be here. Okay?
Our future's so bright, we got to wear shades.
Oh, good night.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Doug.
Bye-bye.
You know
that's a song.
And you know that's not true.
That's a song.
I know it is, but it's not true. We're on the bubble. We're on 30 days notice. Every day, we're on 30 days notice. Let's go to Mike. Mike, how you doing?
Mike's gone.
Steve, how are you? Don, let's go to Don. Don, how are you doing?
Mike, how are you?
Fantastic. What can we do for you?
Well, yesterday you were talking about the T-shirt the guy had with the kind of, you know, the foul language on it.
It was beyond foul. It was vulgar and profane and offensive to almost anyone with any sense of decency.
Right, and I've got a similar story I'd like to relate to you.
Go right ahead.
I was a teacher at a local college here some years ago, and a student came in with a T-shirt, and on the back of it, it had a cross, and nailed to the cross was a nude woman with a nun's habit on. And then on the front, it said, Jesus is a C word.
You know what? That's beyond offensive.
But I told him, cover it up and don't ever bring it back. I was able to do that.
And I think in school you can do that.
Right.
But if that kid wore that shirt in the Galleria or West County Center or Chesterfield Mall, you know there's not a thing they can do about it, and that's just wrong.
It is very wrong, but that's the world we live in, I suppose.
Yeah, I know. Don, thank you.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Let's go to Mike. Mike, how are you?
I'm great. AM and the PM.
That's why you're great.
Absolutely.
What's up?
Not much. I'm a first-time caller as well.
All right. Let's welcome Mike, first-time caller. Doesn't even sound nervous.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you were talking about Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I saw him about 4 years ago, and if you ever get the chance to see him live, you've got to go.
Oh, I will. I think the guy is a throwback to when stage performers were actually really real showmen. They didn't rely on pyrotechnics. They were just great performers.
Absolutely. He has more talent in his pinky toe than a lot of people have in their whole body.
I agree. Uptown Funk. How do you beat that, man? You see the video? Yeah. You've seen the video for Uptown Funk, haven't you?
Absolutely. I think he sounds a little bit like Elvis, and he performs a little bit like Elvis, and it is a throwback.
Go watch.
Exactly right term.
Go watch. What's the Vegas movie where Bruno Mars is? It's an Elvis movie. Viva Las Vegas. Go watch Viva Las Vegas. Bruno Mars is in there as a 5-year-old doing he's a 5-year-old Elvis impersonator. Is a
oh
little.
My
oh my goodness, a little bitty kid. Go watch it. You won't believe it. It's fantastic.
I got you. I will.
All right, Mike.
All right, I just have to say hello to my mom and dad. They're both AM and the PM as well.
No, we can't let you do that.
Oh, wow. What are their names?
What are the names?
Tony and Renee. They also just bought a car at Lawndoff.
No, we can't let you do that. I'm sorry. Sorry, Mike.
All right.
Thank you. Now, Mike is on, and the next caller's name is Landon. Mike Landon, like Michael Landon.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Come on.
Huh?
Landon, how are you?
Good. It's Landon the actor, your old pal.
Oh, my goodness. Where have you been?
Well, I've been performing and working and you know, keeping tabs on my favorite show. I'm AM and the PM.
Of course you are. You guys remember Landon?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a long time. What's going on?
Not much. I was just, I have to say, I was really, really pleased to hear you talking about Grease, the musical, because I know you're not a big fan, and I was impressed that you loved it as much as you did. I thought it was fantastic.
Every aspect of it, from the set people to the casting people, to the performers, to the music, everything about it, to me, I was blown away by
that. Yeah. I mean, they raised the bar, and NBC is going to have a run for their money. NBC's next show is Hairspray. But I think Fox really set the standard. I mean, the live audience was amazing.
And here's the problem with Hairspray. Hairspray is not doesn't even come close in terms of, look, everybody knows Grease. They right. know the story. They know the movie. Not as many people are familiar with Hairspray. I don't think, you're right, they did raise the bar, and I don't think Grease is going to be able to come up anywhere close to it.
Now, did you catch some of the cameos, since you loved the movie, like Dee Dee Khan, the original Frenchie?
Yes.
She was the waitress.
Yes. I thought that was great. No, they approached Travolta and asked him if he'd do a cameo, and his quote was, hell no.
Hell no. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you, John. Very nice.
Exactly. Thanks for, the one that put you on the map, and you don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, but. Landon, how's your acting career going?
Yeah, it's going well. As you remember, I have early onset Parkinson's, so I'm, 6 years into that now. But, still out there directing, producing, doing what I can.
How old are you?
I'll be 43 in August.
Wow.
Wow. When we met you, you had to be maybe 30. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
No, maybe.
What are you doing? Give me one thing. What are you doing?
Well, let's see. I got a final call back a couple weeks ago. I was in New York for a role in Rock of Ages on Norwegian Cruise Lines.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'm up for that potentially. And right now I just teach private lessons. I have a couple of kids on Broadway. Speaking of NBC, the girl who played Wendy on Peter Pan last year, she's one of my students.
All right, Landon, tell me the truth. How's it going in terms of your being able to pay your rent and electric bill? Are you making any money? Or are you one of those guys that's just in your blood and you're just going to stay with it and keep fighting and hope something comes along? Are you doing okay?
Luckily, I learned early on in this business, and I think you are a testament to this too in your business, that the more tools you have, the more marketable you are. So I didn't just focus on acting. I focused on producing, directing. I can be a company manager. I know the business end, and I love it. I love marketing. And so I think if you're diversified, more or less, you're going to be successful. You can't just be focusing on one aspect.
No, you're very smart, because if you just depended on the acting, you'd starve to death.
Oh, you'd starve, yeah.
And where are you living now?
I'm still in the city, South St. Louis City, with my beautiful wife, and she's my sugar mama. She's the one that...
So she has a real job? She has a real job?
Yeah, she's a dean and a teacher at a very prominent school.
Landon, supported by his wife. I love that. Hey, man, we miss you, and it's good to hear from you. Call anytime, okay?
You bet. Miss you guys.
All right, thank you, Landon. And we miss him not in a sexual way.
Yeah.
Let me make that clear. We're going to take another call, and then we're going to get Colin Jeffrey in here. Russ is on here. Russ, how you doing?
I'm doing well, him and the team.
Thank you, Russ.
Got a couple subjects.
All right, make them quick. Go ahead.
Was that Fox and Tunnel Phil they pull out of that hole there? Was that Bernie Sanders?
I'd say that again.
I say, was that the groundhog or Bernie Sanders they pulled out this morning?
I think it was groundhog.
They always could do a sitcom of Weekend at Bernie's if he happens to win up at the White House.
I can tell you something. I'm blown away. And Hillary has to be stunned that it was a virtual tie. Here's a guy, 74 years old. A big chunk of his support comes from young people. And he, I mean, with the exception of like a 1%, I mean, barely did she edge him out. She has to be thinking, man, I'm nervous about this guy. It's very interesting.
She's been getting donations from Ashley Madison.
Donations?
Yeah, to her contribution to running.
She has?
I've got one last thing.
Yeah.
Did you by chance have the signature cutlery set?
The what?
Signature cutlery set?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That's the one that Lorna Bobbitt, if she'd have cut it off, he'd have cut her throat.
No, we don't have that.
Don't have it. I guess we'll put on Paul Waters for tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Russ.
Wow.
What?
Going way back to pull out a Lorena Bobbitt reference.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, those of us who are old enough, we know who Lorena Bobbitt was.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what a big story that was?
Oh, man.
That's the first time that ever there was a news story where a woman cut her husband's wiener off.
And then
sliced it off.
And threw it away, right?
And then the guy goes into porn. Remember that? Peon, did you ever see him in porn? Not that you ever look at porn.
No, but. I have never seen porn before, and no, I did not.
I believe you that you've never watched porn.
Absolutely not.
I really do believe
you. Yeah,
that.
Me too.
Yeah, everybody does. I'm going to take a quick break here. We come back. Colin Jeffrey is going to join us. And folks, don't forget about that movie I told you about, Room. You must watch this movie. I don't know if he's going to mention that or not, but Brie Larson won the SAG Best Actress, and I'm telling you, if she doesn't win Best Actress at the Academy Awards, I'll be stunned. It's that good a performance.
Oh, and speaking of SAG, people were making that joke online. Did you see Susan Sarandon from the Screen Actor Guild Awards?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
What about
she
her?
Essentially wore just a sport jacket and a bra. And she,
let me tell you something.
She is well endowed in that area, and they are still.
And beyond, you're a big fan.
They look like they've still held up over. I mean, they were held up by the bra, of course, but they have held up otherwise over the years because she has to be close to.
Peon, you got to watch a movie. You got to watch a movie with Burt Lancaster and Susan Sarandon called Atlantic City. She stands at the kitchen window.
I think I've seen some still pictures of her over the years.
And rubs lemon juice on her breasts. No, Susan Sarandon, even though she looks like she needs a shower,
thought she was that under. You say she's still somewhat attractive, just looks dirty?
I think she just looks like she needs a shower. She's got a little bit of a dirty look to her. Not that that would turn me away, not that I would kick her
Colin
out of,
told me she's 69 years old. So.
Mm. 69. Hey, shut up.
So during the break, I'll show you. I'll bring up a picture.
No, I think
it was,
she's hot in a kind of dirty way.
We made a Suan Mishki reference earlier in the show. It was the Seinfeld reference.
Oh, yeah.
It was very Suan Mishki-like because there's an episode of Seinfeld where this woman just wears a bra underneath a sport jacket on the street. And everybody starts freaking out. And it was very, it was quite the outfit.
Well, 69 or not, I'm sure she's still, beyond you and I'd still look at her.
And she held the younger man, Tim Robbins, for a long time.
For a long time. She kept him busy. So there you go. What else do you need to say? All right, a quick word from Thompson Price, and then we're going to get Colin Jeffrey in here, and he's going to tell you what you might want to watch for or avoid in the world of entertainment. Thompson Price is a person. And he gets a lot of people who are confused. Can I speak to Mr. Thompson? Well, how about Mr. Price? It's the same guy, Thompson Price. But it's not just Thompson Price. It's a whole staff of people that he has handpicked to do things the way he would do things. He's a guy with a vision. I've never been a person who could go into a room and sort of visualize what would make it better. I don't even understand how that's possible. I was trying to talk to a guy. In fact, it's my... Lance, the guy I use at Lake of the Ozarks, that I've tried my best to tell you folks if you need somebody to check on your place at the lake. And so he contacts me this morning about some rock and some river rock and gravel and how to replace. I had no idea what he was talking about. I said, Lance, you got to send me pictures of this stuff and give me an idea of what you're talking about. I don't have that vision. Thompson Price and his people can walk in your kitchen or your bathroom, as dated as it is, and have the ability to put blinders on and not see what's there, but see what could be. And when they do their blueprint and they lay out for you the kitchen of your dreams or the bathroom, when it's finished, that's exactly what you'll get. There are companies that will show you one thing, and then when it's over, you'll go, well, wait a minute. I thought, and they'll go, well, we weren't able to. No. Here's the other thing. Especially with a kitchen, we actually have known people who hired a kitchen and bath company, and it took 6 months. One was 4 months. Go try to be without your kitchen for 4 months or 6 months. You'll go crazy. When they did our kitchen, they said it'll be 3 weeks, and in 3 weeks it'll be functional. We need the fourth week to do cosmetic things, knobs, handles, touch-up, molding. And that's exactly what it was. And that was with completely gutting our kitchen, ripping out not just drywall and sink and center island, but having to reconfigure and move pipes and 220 outlets for the oven or whatever. They're very good at what they do. But I will tell you, be prepared for their process, they call it. And it's a lot of questions. Because unless they ask you a lot of questions about your family, who's in it, how tall they are, who's left-handed, is it possible that your in-laws or your parents or grandparents are going to be living there, all that's necessary. for you to have the perfect kitchen or bathroom. They're really, really good at what they do. Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Home Showroom in De Pere, about a half mile east of, it's actually not even quite a half mile, less than a half mile east of 270 on Manchester, on the north side of the street next to McAllister's Deli, or just go to this website, thompsonprice.com.
The clown with his pants falling down, or the dance, that's the dream of romance, or the scene.
Who doesn't like good entertainment? And who doesn't appreciate when somebody tells you something stinks so you don't waste your time on it? We have that guy. His name is Colin Jeffrey. And he's brought to you by Window World, the original $189 window and the largest selling replacement window in the United States. And now, here's Colin Jeffrey.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Thank you. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing better. Recovering nicely. I can breathe better.
Can we tell people you have bronchitis?
Yeah.
Had that once in my life. It's miserable.
This is the second year in a row. It's not fun.
I had it like 10 years ago.
Need to take up smoking.
Yeah, look at Dan. He
keeps
smokes.
It out.
He doesn't have
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Smoke
nothing
kills,
can
kills
grow
all
in
the
there.
Bronchitis yeah. germs.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah.
The scorched earth yes. method.
Yeah.
What's going on?
We've got a couple DVDs out. Nothing giant box office-wise, but some movies you should probably watch if you're an Academy Awards fan. Bridge of Spies is out, and Mark Rylance is going, I believe he got a Best Supporting Actor nomination from that, and is... It's possible he'll win, so check that out.
I'm an old rocker from the 70s, and when you say Bridge of Spies, all I think of is Bridge of Sighs by Robin Trower. That's all I think of.
That's a good story.
Yeah, thanks. I just threw that out there. Nobody even knows who the heck
Robin Trower is. Trower Mouse.
Yeah. Okay,
I know
go ahead.
Robin Trower is. I've heard that name.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Our Brand is Crisis, Sandra Bullock, Billy Bob Thornton. That was a huge flop. Avoid it. It's not very good.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. They go down to, oh gosh, I can't even remember. They go somewhere to run a political campaign.
It's a movie?
Yes. Oh, man, it was bad.
Oh, wait. The one with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, I couldn't decide
if
it wanted to.
You said Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah. No, they just came out on DVD, right?
Oh, my goodness. That's what he just said.
I was out taking a whiz.
It's Our Brand is Crisis yeah. with Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Yeah. Out on DVD today.
Billy Bob? Did you say Billy Bob?
Billy Bob Thornton is in there as well. Yep. And those are the only DVDs we're going to mention. TV coming up this week. It is a big week. We're going to come back. We're going to loop around to the American Crime Story, People vs. O.J. Simpson. On Wednesday night on ABC at 7 o'clock, you can watch Madoff. This is Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, this looks good.
It does look good. And there's a movie coming out later this year with Robert De Niro as Bernie Madoff. So this is the... Richard Dreyfuss beats him to the punch, but it's the story of Bernie Madoff. It looks really good. Tomorrow night on ABC, there's an HBO show that starts Friday. It's a late night show. It's an animated show about the wildlife of New York City. It's a series of sort of comedic vignettes. If you're into kind of offbeat humor, this might be the new show for you. The James Foley story, also on HBO, Saturday night. This is James Foley was the journalist who was the first American killed by ISIS.
Yeah, they cut his head off, didn't they?
Yes, and it goes back to...
Or is he the one they burned in a cage? They burned some guy in a cage.
No, they
beheaded him?
Yes, they beheaded him. Burning the cage was later. That was... Yeah, wow.
That's stinking ISIS.
It's so... Barbaric doesn't even begin to describe it. It's things you see in movies, really, is what it's awful. So that's on. And then a couple other notes. The GOP presidential debate, Saturday night. It's the first time they all take the stage since Iowa. We will also be airing that on KTRS.
How do you not drop out if you're, I don't know, five of those people?
If I still have books to sell, I do not drop out.
Man.
That's all I can. And they've got money. I mean, they didn't spend a lot of money in Iowa, so they're hoping they can make a push and maybe some people say some bad things. I don't
know. Good luck with that.
And then the Super Bowl. It's on this Sunday. They've got some ads out there. We're not going to play them. I don't want to play them on the air because I think that's the silliest thing that happens is companies buy ads on the Super Bowl and then everyone plays them for a week leading up to
it. Oh, yeah. They've already in the last 4 or 5 years that you can see every commercial before the game.
I saw the Budweiser one with Helen Mirren. And I'm going to tell you something. Budweiser just wasted their money because she's trying to tell you not to drive drunk. How many years have we told people this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else you can say different after all these years.
No, you can't.
The one thing I did see today, though, was that KFC will be debuting a third Colonel Sanders.
Please call it Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh,
because they tried to be so politically correct and not say fried for all those years.
Oh.
And it was stupid.
But they will be, apparently Norm MacDonald will be going away, and there will be a third Colonel debuting.
What happened to Daryl Hammond?
Oh, he was replaced almost immediately by Norm MacDonald.
Yeah. Well, he was good.
I don't know what their strategy is with this. Maybe all along they've just decided they were going to have
different
new people
doing
it.
It's so they don't get into a flow from Progressive Insurance issue where I don't know that she could ever do anything again acting-wise.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Like, she's done that. How long has she been flow? Like 9 years?
Too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, the answer is too long.
But CBS gets the Super Bowl, and Stephen Colbert is the he gets the lead-in from the Super Bowl, so they're trying to bump his ratings. It's the first time the lead-in has ever been.
I do not get that guy at all.
I don't think you're the only one. He's struggling in the ratings. Yeah, not going well. And now we'll talk about it. What is likely to be the most talked-about series of the year? American Crime Story. People vs. O.J. Simpson. I know you're going to talk to Mike Evans later, but I wanted to mention this. You said it was 8 months, so I went and did a little research on the trial. It costs about $9 million to get no conviction. A total of 20 attorneys on both sides, between the two sides, presented evidence. So there were even more working behind the scenes, but a total of 20 attorneys. And the jurors were sequestered for 265 days.
Wow. How'd you like to be on that?
Wow.
They got paid $5 a day, grand total $1,325.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Then that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. They're rich.
Wow.
But it is actually not the most expensive or near the longest trial in U.S. history. The McMartin preschool trial. Do you remember this, Frank?
Was this from the 20s?
No, this was in the 80s, right up to 90. This was the whole Satanism thing. They thought they got all these kids who said they'd been molested or that the owners of this preschool slaughtered horses and drank blood.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do kind of
remember. It was 6 years from the time the hearings began until the end. It resulted in no convictions, and it cost $15 million.
Wow.
And it's been one of the most widely debunked. They said all these kids were essentially coerced, and it was sort of the height of this people worrying about satanic cults. It was, yeah, this was sort of the death blow to that whole worry because nothing happened, and it cost us a lot of money. Do you remember Training Day, the movie from 2001 with Denzel Washington?
Yes.
I really like that movie a lot.
Yeah,
he won Best Actor for it. CBS is creating a pilot that it's essentially a retelling of the story 15 years later, except the Denzel character is now a white cop and the Ethan Hawke character is now a young, idealistic black cop. They got the original writer of Training Day to write the pilot, though. So we'll see that next year sometime.
Right.
Better Call Saul returns February 15th. That's coming up here. Did you watch the first season of that, Frank?
I watched a little of it. I like that guy, and I like the character. His name just escaped me.
Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, Bob Odenkirk, who was a comedy sketch writer.
Yep, with David Cross.
For many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And never in his wildest dreams would had any intention of being an actor like this.
No.
Wow, what a break he got with Breaking Bad.
Yes, finish the first season. I mean, I know I'm constantly tossing television at you, but if you started it, it's worth finishing. And then the last thing I wanted to mention here, the Playboy Mansion. Still up for sale, $200 million, and Hugh Hefner has to live there.
Still stained, still a lot of stains.
Yeah, I don't think that includes a steam cleaning of the property. $200 million, though. Jeff Beecher owns a Las Vegas nightclub, and he has met with Playboy executives. His idea is to buy the property and then turn it in to a private membership-only club. And he offered them $90 million.
Now, I had heard that Jeff Beecher was going to convert it to a meat processing plant. Beecher meat.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
thank you.
And with that, I'm Colin
Sheffield. Hey, I have a question on this OJ on this OJ thing on yes. FX.
Yeah.
Does that run one per week, or does it go?
Yes, it's going to be 10 weeks, and it's by the same people who did American Horror Story. So season two is going to be something completely different, and it is going to center around Katrina. They are going to take 6 to 8 people who experienced the hurricane in different ways in New Orleans, and piece together a story. That way, they're working on securing rights to firsthand materials and accounts and all that right now. But they believe they're going to start shooting this fall and look for a mid-year release next year. But it's going to be the same idea, a new case or story. And they're saying this is going to be near impossible to follow up on OJ. But that's their idea. Hurricane Katrina for season two.
Okay, now you can do the official close.
I'm Colin Jeffrey. That's entertainment.
All right, there it is. Colin Jeffrey, everybody. Thank you, Colin.
You're welcome.
And he did it all with bronchitis.
Yeah.
And he didn't cough one time. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
No phlegm, no coughing. What a pro. What a trooper. Colin Jeffrey brought to you by Window World, the original $189 window and the number one, the largest selling replacement window in the United States, Window World. You can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. I don't think we're going to get Mr. Cleveland in here now, are we?
I do not believe so.
I don't think so. So let me do a little business. We'll get some stuff out of the way. And Bill Cleveland will join us in the Playhouse. I need to talk to all of you who are right now not customers. You don't even plan on being a customer of Schaefer Auto Body. That could change right now on the way home. When you leave work here in a few minutes, you could get hit by somebody in traffic. They could bump you. Little auto damage. And then you think, well, my goodness, I just heard him talk about Schaefer, and I wasn't even interested in calling them, and now I need to call them. Yes, you do. You need to make sure your insurance company is told, not asked, told, this vehicle goes to Schaefer, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. They have 10 locations now. When we started with Schaefer, I'm almost positive. I know there were no more than 3. There were either 2 or 3 locations, and now they have 10. The power of this show when it comes to helping advertisers grow their business. The other reason they really grew is this, and this is the main reason and the big reason, is because they're really good at what they do. They go far beyond just perfect body work, and that's all really you expect. You expect perfect body work. You get that vehicle back, you shouldn't be able to tell whether work started or finished or there was ever even an accident. Okay, they do that. But they go way beyond that. They help you with every aspect of this whole process so that it's painful enough that you're in an accident, okay? You don't have to have any more grief. You won't have with Schaefer. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. You can find out more at SchaeferAutobody.com.
Excellent release.
It's good to know. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Groundhog Day edition of Pinions Playhouse, February 2nd. Brought to you by Amini's. Amini's is in Chesterfield Valley. It's a copper dome on top of the building, which makes it very different from every other building there. What really makes it different is what's inside. If you've never been in there, oh, man, you're in for a very, very pleasant treat. And when you do go to Amini's, take your whole family, grandparents, grandchildren, kids, brothers. They're all going to love it, and everybody's welcome. There's something for everybody at Amini's.
Hey!
Let's introduce the control board operator. His name is Eon the Peon. Peon, say hi to your sponsor.
I would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason. They are financial advisors with Stifel Nicolaus, which is a member of the SIPC and NYSE. And if you are not hearing from your current advisor, you really should talk to Mark and Jason because they talk to all of their clients every quarter.
That's right, they do.
For their phone number and more, go to markandjason.com. Hello to the chicks.
Dan Levi Strauss is in the house with his trouser mouse. Dan, how's it going?
It's going great, and I want to say happy birthday to a guy that I grew up with. I've known him since we were 2 years old. He lived two houses up from me. His name is Mark Brown. I've always remembered his birthday because it was on Groundhog's Day.
You're like a woman.
He is.
With all these birthdays. I don't know any man's birthday.
I remember his birthday because it was always on Groundhog's Day. And so happy birthday to Mark.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Now, does Mark think it's a big deal that he knows somebody as famous as you are?
Oh, heck yeah.
I bet he does.
Oh,
You're famous in two areas, radio and band.
Yeah.
Like a band
member. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You must get chicks just all over the place.
Oh, I...
Yeah,
I have a... Sandy will drive them away.
I have a group of friends that I see every Wednesday, for the last 4 or 5 years. We play softball in the spring. We bowl every fall through winter. I don't know any of their birthdays.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know anybody. Dan, I don't know your birthday or Dan's birthday. We're in the room all the time together. I don't know your birthdays. I just don't think
I know what month both of your birthdays are in, but I couldn't see the...
I couldn't even tell you the month. The Dan, is yours in November?
No.
See?
Mine's in August.
August.
December.
That's August 4th.
I rest my case.
I share a birthday with Billy Bob and Barack Obama.
I don't remember any of that. Any of them. Hebe Jimenez is in charge of security. He travels with Dan and his band because, as you know, chicks can go crazy when you get up on stage with a band. Hebe keeps that in check.
Yeah.
Bernice is in heaven.
Horses hanging.
And I didn't know this, but Rad Boy's telling me that when O.J. was kind of on the run, even though that's not a good term, they weren't really running. They were going 10 miles an hour or something in the Bronco. But he said in addition to the fake beard mustache and the cash and the gun, he had an entire wheel of what?
Cheese.
He had a big wheel of cheese with him.
Oh.
I guess he needed something that would not go bad and if he were in hiding that he could live on. I guess cheese would be the answer. That never came out, Red Boy. Maybe it'll be in that thing on TV.
It would also block you up a little bit, too.
Yeah, because we're on the run. You don't want to have to go all the time.
No.
And he probably had a nervous stomach because he just killed two people.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, Red Boy. Thank you. I'll see if that's in the miniseries. Give it up, please, for Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Our sponsor is Amini's, A-M-I-N-I-S. Amini's is kind of hard to describe this to people who've never been in there. It's got stuff you don't find. You find some of the things in other stores. Like, I'm sure there's home theater furniture in some stores, but that same store is not also going to have a shuffleboard. There's a big golf expo. February 12th through the 14th at the St. Charles Convention Center. And Amini's is going to have a presence there. So I would really love it if you go to the Golf Expo, go, hey, Amini's, I'm AM and the PM. Just, let them know you listen. And there's going to be an opportunity to get 15 rounds of golf. Details and the golf equipment sale info will be at stlgolfexpo.com. But the big thing is, watch for Amini's, because they will be there at the Golf Expo. The only other thing I'm going to ask you to do is stop in Amini's when you get a chance. It's in Chesterfield Valley. If you say, well, I'm never in Chesterfield Valley, I don't go anywhere near there. Well, this is in itself a reason to go. You don't have to go, oh, we're going to be in the valley, let's stop in Amini's. How about Amini's is the reason you go to Chesterfield Valley? And give yourself at least 20 minutes. I say that because if you just run in and out in a couple of minutes, you're not even going to begin to get an idea of how incredible this store is. Do you like pinball? Of course you do. Who doesn't? You like arcade games? You like shuffleboard? Like to sit in a big old comfortable home theater type couch? Yeah, you do. You like fine furniture, patio furniture that's the best made in the world, and a lot of it made right here in the USA. They have it, and they don't have anything less because they don't sell any junk. And right now is when you want to start thinking about finally getting patio furniture that's going to last and last and last. It's the number one in sales. It's their number one category is patio furniture. They sell and rack up more sales in patio furniture than anything else because there are people out there who want quality and they don't want junk, and that's why a store like Aminia's is successful. Again, it's A-M-I-N-I-S, Copper Top, Chesterfield Valley, Aminia's.com. From downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab. If you're AM and the PM, you better not be caught in any other cab than a Laclede Cab, okay? Let's just make a sort of a handshake deal without really shaking hands. That's what you're going to do. Is only riding the Laclede Cab. There's an app. It's STL Taxi. It's free. Please download it. It works great. It's a good way to get a Laclede Cab. And now, courtesy of Laclede Cab, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you?
Well, you're talking about birthdays. Mine, 3 days. 3 days from right now. I'm an Aquarius.
So you're
36 years old.
On the 5th?
February 5th.
You'll be how old? 36.
36.
Wow.
Man.
You're started right. On this show, I was 20.
So hang on.
Really
hang
old.
On. You, hold on, hold on. 20. So you've been on this show. Hold on. You started 20? When you were 20.
And you're 30.
Let's just say, for all intents and purposes, you're 36.
So you've been on this show for 43 years.
43 years. That's what I got, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, 40, it feels time. Like 43 years.
It sure does to us.
I'm sure it does.
What do you have for us?
Of course, everyone's talking about the Iowa thing last night.
I didn't hear about it.
Of course, Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucus last night, so I guess it was a proud day for Canada. Congratulations.
See, he's born in Canada.
And Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders practically tied last night. In fact, it was so close. Hillary only squeaked out a win by the threat of a pantsuit. I mean,
ooh,
it was close.
That's a close one.
That is very close. And Marco Rubio came in third place on the Republican side yesterday and later told his supporters with thunderous applause, "We have sent a very clear message." Yeah, the message was you didn't win. That was the message he sent Marco.
Yeah, but he did better than most people thought he would do.
Yeah, he did. Well, we're just making fun here. Donald Trump, of course, lost last night. That was kind of a big deal. Out of habit, Trump tried to declare bankruptcy on the state of Iowa. You can't do that. Doesn't work that way. And finally this afternoon, and, you know, this happens every 4 years, whether you remember it or not. Everybody talks about how they have no idea how the Iowa voting works. Even the politicians are confused. For example, Bill Clinton thought caucus is what women ask when they want a three-way.
Oh,
that's not
yeah.
what it is.
Oh, yeah.
The Bill Cleveland segment wow. is brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company, and from downtown St. Louis, on Bill Cleveland, 6515 KTR.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Did you see Bill Clinton recently in this last couple of days on the news? He looks like a corpse.
Yeah.
Hold me. My goodness, he looks horrible.
And
his
bags.
Mouth is always open.
The he bags. Got,
yeah, bags under his eyes. Oh. He could pack those bags with enough stuff to take her through the whole campaign. And his mouth is always open, hanging open. Like, that's how old people do in a nursing home when they're sitting in a recliner. You know, their mouth's open. He looks horrible, I think.
Oh, he always said nice things about you.
Yeah.
I know he does, and that's why I feel kind of bad about what I just said. But I just don't think he's a guy who's, for whatever reason women found him attractive, those reasons are gone, I think.
The power, I think it was more.
Yeah,
it wasn't
the power
necessarily
away, and all of a sudden,
looks.
Yeah, he's not so hot anymore.
And didn't they always say they looked into his eyes, and his eyes were like blue or something?
Yeah, I don't know. It is Groundhog Day. If you've never seen the movie Groundhog Day, and I guess there are people who haven't, I strongly recommend it. It was one of Bill Murray's. That and What About Bob?
Oh,
two of his greatest performances back when he was funny before he decided, hey, I think every once in a while I won't be funny. He was really funny in that movie. That's it's a terrific. Annie McDowell, boy, I love her.
Yes,
too.
She looks great in that movie.
Yes.
She is so good looking in that movie. And the other thing Bill Murray did where he wasn't really funny, but I will say was a terrific movie. Did you ever see St. Vincent?
No.
It's fantastic.
No, that's the one where he's the neighbor.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I never saw that.
And Melissa McCarthy is the next door neighbor. She has a son. It is really, really good. So I will give him that. That was a good one where he wasn't necessarily funny. John Carney is doing better, I understand.
Yeah.
Sitting in a chair, and they said cracking jokes.
I know, that's what I heard.
That doesn't sound like him. I've never heard him say anything funny. Maybe something happened. You know how people are in an accident, they go in a coma, and they wake up and they speak another language or something?
Transformation.
They turn their life around, yeah.
Maybe something happened, and all of a sudden now he's funny.
George Bailey.
That's going to be great.
I'm going to start being funny now.
Is Joe Holloman, is he the permanent sort of...
I don't know.
The permanent
I know Paul
temp?
Harris is doing one day this week.
Yeah, and I heard Steve Savard is coming in sometime next week, I think, to do...
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Is Scott Sherman? I heard Scott Sherman is going to be in for
I don't think so.
I heard that.
Really?
Well, I hope that's true. Scott Sherman's good.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who think that gun control is the answer to all of the problems we have with nuts... Let me throw this at you. The strictest gun control anywhere in this country is the city of Chicago. We stand right now at 51 murders, gun murders in Chicago, where you're not allowed to have a gun. Wait a minute, how can that be? You're not allowed to have a gun. That's the most murders in the last 16 years as they have continued to tighten gun laws. Well, that didn't go very well, did it? So much for gun control. Two notable birthdays today. Red Shandinst is 93, and Christie Brinkley is 62.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know who still looks good at 50 is Cindy Crawford.
Oh, yeah,
she's
50. Does, yeah.
And I misspoke earlier. I said that Bruno Mars, as a little kid, was in Viva Las Vegas. I think it was somebody... listener emailed me, it was Honeymoon in Vegas. That's where you see Bruno Mars as a little five-year-old kid. He's an Elvis impersonator. He's a little kid. Now, Peon has a one-year-old. And every year you read these things about what it costs to raise a child, and I say that these people are full of crap. They say that, and this is without college, this is to raise a child through the age of 17. Up to the 18th birthday, $240,000. And that's in the Midwest, so that's us. Now, I don't buy it, and I'll tell you why. Because you get down on and read further into this article, and it says that little kids, it says a baby will cost a couple... about $16,000 a year. That is not true. It's not true at all. 16, is Archie costing 000. You 16 grand?
I don't know where it's coming from if he is.
Well, the answer is no.
And we're lucky in one case where we're escaping daycare so far. So that's
I'm sure that's
added
expense.
In there. Yeah, I'm sure some people can pay, you know, $400 or $500 a week for that.
And it says at 16. The last year, 16 through 17, so 2 years, when you turn 16 up until your 18th birthday, the parents spend $18,713. There's no way that a newborn baby costs only $3,000 a year less than an 18-year-old. That's just not true. So I don't buy it. I don't buy the 200. It's just scaring people out of having kids. And I don't think it'll work, though. I think people want to have kids, they'll have kids. People have had kids for, you know, centuries and centuries, and... you do what you have to do. You find a way to do it, and it does not have to cost that much, and I don't buy that. I don't know how this works, but some genius has come up with a way to deal with telemarketers. Now, Peon, you read this. Is this some kind of software? Because I know you buy this from this guy.
Yes, I think, and I think it's an app as well, where the telemarketer will call you, and you answer the phone, and then you say, hold on a second, and then you put that call on hold. Then you bring up this app and merge somehow this app with the already call in place, and apparently it just strings them along.
And, of course, this is a cell phone.
Yes.
So let's say a telemarketer calls you and goes, hi, I'm something, and we'd like to talk to you about siding or roofing or whatever it is. You go, hang on a minute, especially if they ask for somebody. Is this the man of the house? No, hang on, I'll get him. Well, what you do, while you're on your cell phone, you go to
this like
app.
A three-way call then where you...
Exactly. And then what it does...
It's just a bunch of, you know, I couldn't hear you for a second, and then...
It's pre-recorded lines where... When you come back, the voice says, hello, and then this telemarketer starts talking, and this app says things like, I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
And just to waste as much time of theirs as you can before they finally hang up.
Yeah, and then it's just preloaded with things that the telemarketer doesn't realize that he's talking to a recorded robotic app, and it's hilarious because it keeps the telemarketer on forever and ever. They're not even talking to anybody. You just set the phone down and walk away, and it just keeps the conversation going. I think it's tremendous. It's a great idea. Now there's a guy in London. This is a true story. It's not a joke. This guy is sexually attracted to tractors. I am not making this up. He's been banned from farms. Like the sex offenders in this country, they'll say you can't come within 1,000 feet of a school. He can't come within a certain distance of farms. 53 years old. He has had sex with 400. They've documented 450 tractors. And he's attracted to the grease. There's apparently some grease at the back of the tractor. And they went in his home and found a collection. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. On his computer, he had images of more than 5,000 tractors.
Wow.
And he has a special sexual desire for John Deere and Massey Ferguson, particularly green tractors. And they've caught him multiple times in the act. He wears boots and nothing else, just boots. Yeah. And he's at the back of the tractor. And he does his thing. And he told the authorities that he was into axle grease. And seeing this on the back of the tractors was just too much for him.
Oh, man.
And here's a shocker. He's been divorced twice.
What?
I guess his wife caught him with a tractor.
Yeah.
Been divorced twice.
He's a philanderer, too, because multiple tractors are involved.
Multiple. Been banned from the country, can't go within a mile of a farm. This is the most unbelievable thing. The point here is... We'll never really know how many kinds of weirdos there are.
Tractor
There's some
sex.
Weird people. I want to get the joke in here because we want to get Mike in maybe a little early and let him talk about the whole OJ thing and how, you know, that's the reason he ended up being on our show. Ladies, get in here, please.
Ooh, that's nice.
Perfect joke for the day after the caucuses is a politician, and he wants the Native American Indian vote. Other candidates seem to be ignoring the Native American Indians, so this is a particular afternoon where he's going to be speaking to them, and it's a reservation. And the staging area where he has to speak is out way, way out in the middle of a pasture where there's several bulls in the pasture. And the host, the Native American Indian who's escorting him, tells him he has to climb a fence, and I'm sorry, we don't have a better way to get you out to the staging area, but we've got about a good quarter of a mile walk through this pasture. And the politician says, well, there's bulls in here. And the Native American says, not worry. I always do Tonto. Okay. Bull not harm you. Just keep moving. So they keep moving. They keep moving. He's following the Native American, and they get out to where the staging area is. And he gets up, and he talks to the Native American people, and he says, and I want you to know, I think the Native American Indian has been mistreated, and I'm going to put an end to that. And the Indians all yell, Umguala, Umguala, Umguala. And furthermore, I think that every Native American Indian should be given... Just as, call it whatever you, reparations, apology, money, whatever, but for what has been done to you over the years, You should each get $5,000 a year and be exempt from income tax. Umgwala! 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 They're yelling, Umgwala! He's thinking, what the heck? I don't know what it means, but boy, they're really enthusiastic. And I will conclude by telling you that I think that every Native American child, if I'm elected president, will go to college and there will be no tuition charge. Umgwala! Umgwala! Thank you. And he steps down as they make their way back through the pasture. The Native American Indian turns to him and says, Senator, I need to be careful. Don't want to step in Umgwala. Interesting. We're going to have a special chat with Mike Evans. Not the usual list of what's going on in Hollywood. It has everything to do with the O.J. Simpson trial. I think you'll find it very interesting. Mike is brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market. They're both in Chesterfield Valley. They're next door to each other. And every day, they sell gift cards to people who know that the people who receive them will use them and will be so grateful. You'll see what I'm talking about. Annie Gunn's and the Smokehouse present Mike Evans.
Good evening.
I got to introduce him to his former tax evader, Mike Evans. So, early in the show, at least you got to have a sip. Early,
I was a tax evader.
Yes, you were.
I just didn't pay my taxes.
That's called tax evasion.
Oh, I spent the money. I didn't have the money.
Okay. Early in the show, I told people that you were grateful to O.J. because O.J. kept you out of prison. And I told you that you owed the IRS some money, and they sort of said, hey, you got this much time to pay it or you're going to jail. And you paid it because you got a lot of stations to let you be a stringer and call in reports, and you made enough money to pay your tax bill, and thank goodness you didn't go to jail.
That's exactly right.
That's the short version of the story. Let me ask you this. That was how we were introduced to each other, whether it was by phone or having the station didn't want you. And their great programming wisdom, and I did, and that was the beginning of everything. Do you remember how you contacted the state? Did you come to St. Louis and see him, or did you call him, or write him?
No, I came to St. Louis. This is when I was commuting back and forth from L.A. to the Butte.
And, the Butte, by the way, for those who don't know, is Springfield, Missouri.
Right.
Yeah.
And to see my daughters every weekend.
Right.
And we would usually drive from Springfield into St. Louis, and we go to Six Flags or the zoo, or we just get out of Springfield. And I had just this was just a week after O.J. No, I take that back. It was about 3 weeks after O.J. killed Ron and Nicole, and after the Bronco chase.
Mike, he didn't kill him. The verdict
yeah,
was not guilty.
No, he was found guilty in a civil case.
Okay, all right.
We got to make sure so everybody knows.
Okay.
So I started contacting friends of mine that had morning shows and saying, because I knew I had a L.A. Superior Court pass. I have had it since I worked for the Post. Had them for years. So I knew that maybe I couldn't get in every day, but I could get in. And days that I couldn't actually get into the courtroom, I would be down at the courthouse and in the press room and seeing what's going on. So I started calling stations, and it actually had to be just like a week or 10 days, because every station I called said, "Absolutely, we'll take the reports. You know that every morning we'll call you."
Yeah, except the numbskull that I was working with.
Exactly. Then I went to St. Louis and Springfield, picked up the kids. Went to St. Louis, got there on a Friday afternoon, and went into the station. I actually called the station, and the guy's like, "Well, why would we want to have somebody as O.J. Simpson? This is St. Louis. This isn't Los Angeles."
Oh, that's a brilliant answer.
So then somehow you and I got hooked up.
Well, I'll tell you the way I remember it is I must have walked by, and heard him say something like, "Nah, we don't need that on our morning show." And I said, "Don't need what?" And he's telling me, I said, "Yeah, yeah, I'll take it." And I think I just said, "I'll do it. I'll take care of it." And the next thing I know, when the trial starts, there you are. How many people, as you remember it, were in that courtroom usually?
About 40.
Yeah, it wasn't big. No. It wasn't a lot of people.
It was about 40. And of all the stations I had, and at one time I had 60, and that was the most I could do.
Yeah.
Frank and I had become friends, and our families became friends, and really the only person that I was on with OJ that actually turned out to be a friend, which is very cool.
Yeah, you. There's no way you're not going to be really interested in watching this thing starting tonight, because you've got a closer connection than most of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you at any point through that whole thing talk to any of these major players besides Marsha Clark? I mean, did you ever say hello to Cochran or anything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they never had much to say during the trial, but...
Now, let me ask you something. How
Mark Furman.
How many years did you not pay income tax?
About six.
Why? I mean, what were you thinking?
Well, it's
I told people earlier, and you've said this before, you were a rock and roll guy. You did some stuff you should put in your body. You shouldn't have, maybe you were just kind of crazy.
Yeah, I love telling this story, and it's a little off, but it's a great story. That I met Cheryl in Springfield.
Yeah.
And I asked her to marry me, and she'd been out to L.A.
Tell them how you met Cheryl.
I was doing mornings at K-Rock in Los Angeles, and I commuted almost every weekend. I got an apartment in Springfield, and I commuted. I worked from 6 to 9 in the morning, Monday through Friday. I caught a 10:40 flight into Springfield from Los Angeles, got an apartment, and the deal is with my ex-wife is she could have them Monday through Thursday, but I got them Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every weekend, every holiday, every summer. They were with me, and we had joint custody. I had joint custody of them. So this went on for years and years. I did this for years. And then Lacey started dating this guy.
Now, for those who don't know,
getting out of high school, and they were going to different colleges. And I talked to her and said, you can't get married, you're too young.
Take a breath,
so
hold on,
agreed.
Take a breath.
I really loved the guy was great, too. And Lacey said, well, I want you to meet his family. I want you to at least know his family so we get closer. I go, okay. So I went over to the house to meet his mom, who was a widow and had a younger daughter. And I fell in love with her, and it was Cheryl. And I immediately started dating Cheryl. Our two kids went to different colleges. They broke up within 3 months. And Cheryl and I got married about 6 months later. So instead of becoming husband and wife, our kids became brothers and sisters.
For those who don't know, you were moving so fast I couldn't interrupt you. You didn't explain to people, no, Lacey is your daughter. You just said Lacey. Lacey is Mike's daughter.
Right.
Mike's daughter was dating Cheryl's son.
Right.
And this is how they met. And, yeah, you end up getting married. So these kids who were formerly dating are now like stepbrother, stepsister, half, whatever.
But Cheryl, the story about my taxes is when I asked Cheryl to marry me, and she had been out to L.A. a few times at my place in Redondo Beach, a nice ocean view and stuff. And she goes, well, before I say yes, I think I deserve to know something about, you know, about your finances. And, you know, so she goes, like, do you own that condo in L.A.? And I said, no, I rent that. And she goes, in the car you drive, I know that belongs to the station. They let you borrow, that's part of your deal. I go, yeah. And she goes, would you have property in L.A. anywhere? And I go, no. She goes, well, do you have any stocks and bonds or money mart? What do you have as far as financially? I think I deserve to know if I'm going to marry you. And I go, I don't have anything. And she goes, well, how much money do you have in the bank and savings? I said, maybe $500.
How much did you owe the IRS?
$45,000.
Okay, I thought it was like $150, but hey, back then $45,000 was like $150. It's
and
a lot of money.
She said, "Well, I know you make well over $100,000 a year. Where's your money going?" I go, "Well, I'm flying back and forth to Missouri every week, And, you know, I like to do cocaine. And
no, he's not kidding. No, he's not kidding.
Friend. I like to do, you know, a little cocaine, and I like to drink wine. And I like, there's one bottle of wine that I like that I get at least once a week. They're $450 for the bottle of wine.
Oh, my God.
And so she said to me, she goes, here's the deal. I will marry you. I'll marry you. And this is before, this is right around the OJ time. She says, but she's an accountant. She says, but you can't ever touch money. I'll give you $200 a week that you can have for spending money. But other than that, you can't touch any money. You can't write checks. You can't do anything with money. You're getting $200 a week. That's it. I was dead ass broke. That was 21 years ago. And now I own my own home in Palm Springs. I own it outright. We own some investment property outright. And I have, I'm in a position now where I can retire if I want to.
Cheryl saved
Cheryl.
His life. Cheryl
way to
saved
go,
his
Cheryl.
Life.
Yeah. It was all because of Cheryl. If no. I had to marry Cheryl, I'd be dead ass broke, living in a one room place down in Compton someplace.
And we're out of time, but for people who've never seen you, in spite of all that debt, no money, it was your looks that got her.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
No
plus
doubt
the
about
fact
it.
That I'm hung like a horse.
Yeah, one of those miniature horses.
Yeah.
A little mini horse.
Shetland pony.
All right, listen, we're out of time. What a great story. I might give him a round of applause. It's a great story.
Yeah.
And
thanks,
one of these days, we need to take like a half an hour and tell more of your stories. Sign off. Tell everybody goodbye. There you go. That's the sound. Mike Evans, courtesy of Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market. And they are next door to each other on the east end of everything in Chesterfield Valley. And hello, Judy. Yes, I got your text. You're still the cutie. American Equity Mortgage. The longest-running advertiser we have. When Judy the Cutie Martin was with us, we had American Equity. When we were on Market Street, before we were ever here, we've been here 18 and a half years. American Equity's been with us 24 years. Unheard of. Here's what you can do for us to thank them. You can consider them when you're ready for a mortgage. You can also consider them if you're a homeowner and you're ready to borrow some money and take advantage of their still ridiculously low interest rates. That's called a home equity loan, and they'll make it very easy to walk you through that. They work fast. They don't care. Look, this perfect credit thing, most people don't have it. Don't worry about it. If anybody can get it done for you, they'll get it done for you. They are American Equity Mortgage. Ignore these other mortgage companies with similar phone numbers. Here's what you need to know, 314-878-9999 or AmericanEquity.com.